City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, February 14th. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and I'm here along with Keith Hunke, City Administrator, and our regular guest, Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator. Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And we're here on Valentine's Day. That's the other significance of the day. But we're also here the day after a City Commission meeting once again. And this City Commission meeting was very short. Short compared to most meetings that we've had lately.
It was
a very short agenda, but doesn't mean we don't have things to talk about.
That's right.
And the first thing that came up I thought was very interesting and very good for the City of Bismarck was that your finance department received a certificate of recognition for financial reporting. And Keith, can you explain a little bit about how that works and where that came from?
Sure. In government, in local government, we have very many things we need to meet, regulations, reporting requirements, and most people don't recognize that, but it's very stringent, highly regulated, and for many years now, we have achieved the highest standards and have been recognized with this national award. The most important thing we can do as local government is to be accurate and transparent with our reporting of our budgets, our funds, our revenue, most important because it is the people's money that we're dealing with. And so we're very transparent with
that process. So this award has been received before by the city?
Yes, it has.
Oh,
it has. So we've been fortunate having great staff that have hit the mark, the highest mark every year.
So you continue to be recognized.
That's fantastic.
And speaking of transparency, too, I have your website up on my screen, and we can pop it up in a minute. But bismarcknd.gov is where you can find this information. So if you want to find the budget, it's very readily available.
Yes, it is.
And you go to that website under government, and I'm just going to navigate to that spot under the departments. You can go to finance, and through this website, I mean, it's all there. If you want to read the budget, it's pretty deep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll warn you right now.
Many, many pages.
Many pages. But I think it looks here, at least what's online here, and it's probably you probably even have, obviously, deeper records than this, but we're going back to 2007 here on the budgets that are currently online. So, and when you do go in here, just pulling up the 2017 budget, you can look in here, and we're talking, 300-plus pages of the budget. And it is pretty complicated. There's no doubt. I mean, there's a lot of information here. But Bismarck's a big city, and there's a lot of different accounts. And
a lot of different departments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, and then sources of funding that come from a variety
exactly.
of places. Everything from federal dollars for the airport and different road projects to user fees and property
tax
and sales tax. Yep. So, you know, this really takes it apart on many different levels.
It sure does. And, you know, oftentimes people talk about their property tax and what does our property tax support, what do we spend it on. And when you get into our numbers, look at the details of the budget document, you'll see that with property tax collections, we don't even cover the total expenses for public safety, which include police, fire, and emergency communications. Mm-hmm. So, our overall city budget, when you look at all budgeted funds, we're well over $200 million. So the general fund is roughly around $21 million. So big operation when you look at us and you could compare us to the private sector and equivalent corporations or businesses. And it's big. It's big business with local government.
Well, and it's all there. If you want to read it, it's there. We've got something on the screen right now. You look at pie charts, everything from graphs and pie charts, it'll pretty much tell you what you need to know. But if you can't find the information there, Sheila Hillman, who's been your finance director for a number of years now, and their staff are always there and available to answer any questions. So if you don't know and you want to know, give them a call. Or I would suggest first go online and find that information because there is a lot of information here you can see. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. So, yeah, that was a wonderful achievement for them and nice to get recognized once again. Mm-hmm. Also, something kind of interesting that happened last night was a video project that has just recently been completed and was shown last night. It premiered mm-hmm. at the City Commission meeting. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's a great video.
We're very proud of that.
We're going to play it here. I'm going to bring it up. So anything want to add? Like, how long has this project been in the works?
We've had conversation about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate the City Commission did allow us to spend some funds out of our business development budget to get the work done. Mm-hmm. And we got the final result, and now we're sharing it.
And the purpose of the video is basically a welcome video.
It is. And, you know, I think everybody's goal in Bismarck is we want to retain and attract individuals to our community. Mm-hmm. And this is our part of doing that. Mm-hmm. And again, the video is about Bismarck as a community, not Bismarck City government. We're hoping that it gets shared by everyone who can access it and mm-hmm. tells a great story.
So it is on your website, on every page of the website, on your YouTube channel. Yep. And right now, let's roll that video and let people take a look here, and we'll start it out.
Welcome to the City of the Unwritten. A city that's given so much. A city of people who aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. A city of makers, entrepreneurs, musicians, artists. A city of laughter, memories, and people who will welcome others in with a cup of heartwarming handmade coffee. A city of people, young and old, working together. People who explore, live, and grow together. But what makes this place special? Being listed year after year as one of the best places to raise a family. Maybe because we have a community recognized for its safe neighborhoods and revered for its low unemployment. A city where adventure is everywhere you look, where you can pioneer your own story. We've opened a new page to write on for the generations ahead. Welcome to Bismarck. Come write your story.
That's really nice.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, really beautiful images, you know, really including arts and culture, recreation, business, industry. I think it's lovely.
It touches on just about everything.
Yeah, it's very attractive.
That we have here.
And we watched it earlier, and I said, you know, it's kind of nice that they recognized and used scenes from winter. Mm-hmm. So often you see promotional products and video media done for this area, and we just kind of ignore that. And I think to acknowledge that, I think is important.
We need to embrace our four seasons. Yes, winter is part of that. And you think about the activities we get to do in the winter, not just snow blowing and shoveling, but, you know, we have our outdoor skiing and sledding and ice fishing, and not everyone gets to do that where they live. So I think it's important that we embrace it.
I think, it's really beautiful. Really adds to the video as well. And again, the purpose is to attract visitors and mm-hmm. attract a potential workforce. Yep. To our community, and I think it really does that. It hits a lot of different buttons, and looks good. Looks good, and these things don't come easy. They look easy.
Right.
We know that here, mm-hmm. putting something like that together, and they really did a wonderful job. So, well, moving into the meat of the meeting last night, there was an issue that was discussed that's been on your agenda a number of times, and Jason and I have talked about this as it's moved through the process, and that's your utility rates. And the adjustment that was made towards the end of last year, which was implemented just here in January. Mm-hmm. And you gave a presentation last night, kind of updating everybody where it's at this point in time. Do you want to just kind of capsulize that for us?
Sure. So over the last several weeks, we've had ongoing discussions with area land developers, home builders, contractors, owners and representatives of apartment buildings and manufactured home parks, and all related to the recently increased water utility fees. And we started to get significant feedback after our first billing period in January. And that's when people really noticed the effect of those rate changes, which were approved last year by the City Commission in August during our budget approval process. So we listened, had back and forth dialogue, put together some recommendations that were presented last night, and fortunately the commission did approve that, and we were able to give relief to the manufactured home parks and the apartment complexes regarding their living unit fee. Mm-hmm. And the rate was approved for 2018 at $7.50 per living unit last night. The commission revisited that and reduced that fee to $2.50, so able to provide those people some relief. And in our discussions with them, they shared with us, you know, right now in Bismarck, we have a soft rental market, and they're dealing with that along with changes in property taxes. And fortunately, the city of Bismarck didn't contribute to that property tax increase for them, but they have those adjustments, and it just piled on for them. And so we were able to provide some relief last night. And again, that was the result of the back and forth discussion, the mm-hmm. willingness of the city commission to listen, Mayor Seminary and Commissioner Marquardt. Commissioner Marquardt has our finance portfolio. They spent many hours hearing, listening, back and forth conversations, worked through this, brought me into the discussions. And so that was good. The other thing we did was address concerns shared with us by the area land developers. We were, again, the original 2018 utility fee for properties that they deal with was undeveloped properties. Mm-hmm. And we were reaching out and assigning some base fees to those parcels, base fees to cover the basic costs and essentially our debt service costs for the water and sanitary sewer utility. Again, provided us feedback, told us how it's impacting their business. Mm-hmm. And we took that into consideration, and we eliminated that charge for the current year. So a lot of good discussion.
Yeah.
And a couple of lessons learned. One is we as a city need to do more communications earlier on. I guess we take some things for granted that we're hitting the mark, our legal requirements, the public hearings, announcing the sure. legal ads. But we, you know, again, with this, establish some good relationships with folks on a personal level, and we'll continue working those relationships and providing more direct information as far as here's what we're doing, here's when the meetings are, those type of things. So we hope to have no surprises in the future.
Yeah, it was a big shift when it happened. I mean, you had rate increases going from everything, all the residential property, commercial property, vacant lots, or what you're terming unmetered property. Mm-hmm. So all of these things kind of went into this new rate adjustment.
They did.
And I would assume it's somewhat difficult to understand what the impact is individually when it's that voluminous mm-hmm. at the beginning. So I think the good news, as you mentioned, is that that was put into play, and then there was feedback. There was a reaction from individuals that pointed out the impact to them was mm-hmm. was considerable. And the good news is, again, the process worked. People came forward and provided that input, and the city listened and said, you're right, we need to make an adjustment.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's all great.
And, you know, that process of providing input, in the past, we have had very few people attend our budget meetings. And, you know, maybe in the future, based on this, we'll have more attendees. Mm-hmm. There'll hopefully be more dialogue earlier.
Well,
our public works director, Michelle Closey, back in 2017, during this whole process, did an excellent job of preparing the background information, providing that to the budget committee. And in turn, we accepted those recommendations as a budget committee, presented those to the city commission. There was dialogue at the city commission table about mm-hmm. these rates and about the adjustments and the methodology and doing things differently. That carried over into our public hearings. And at that time, we thought we were at a good spot because we mm-hmm. had that dialogue. And
yeah.
had no feedback. But
yeah.
again, I think we heard loud and clear after our initial billing, based on the new fees, that there were some concerns. And
yeah.
as you pointed out, Mary, yes, the city commission listened and we took some action. We have a lot of heavy lifting to do now in a short period of time because of the reset we need to do. Mm-hmm. And also the city commission has temporarily suspended efforts in regards to our capital improvement plan. So we have a lot of work to do, the budget committee, and need to report back as soon as we can to the city commission as to where we're at with the new agreed to fees.
Mm-hmm. There were two motions that were passed last night. And that was one of them, mm-hmm. was to suspend any capital improvement projects that were directly related to these utility fees.
Correct.
And then the first motion that was passed was to modify the mobile home parks and manufactured homes.
Yes.
And the unmetered properties,
yep.
to remove that.
Properties. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then move forward with a study on the rates.
Yes. And a very important piece. The cost of service rate study will be very important for us. That'll be our basis moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, we will review our development policies as it relates to new development and also the cost policies of who pays what, whether mm-hmm. it's the developer, the homeowner, the
right.
city. So all those things are tied together. And so moving forward, we'll be reviewing all of that and doing a reset.
Well, I think on the surface, it seems like an unmetered property, or let's just call it a vacant lot at this point in time, would seem not to require a utility fee, a water mm-hmm. fee. But in reality, there is cost associated with that, with bringing right. water lines and sewer lines into those properties. And stormwater management, especially on vacant properties,
right.
is
mm-hmm.
a huge concern.
And even on developed properties, if you look at some of the properties that aren't metered, we'll use cold storage facilities, for example. They don't have a water line to the property because they don't have a need for that water immediately. But if there's a fire in that area, absolutely, we need to have water in the line. And some of those properties, in most cases, are fairly impervious, meaning they are going to be pushing a lot of stormwater into the system. So then those are the charges that need to be captured to help contain mm-hmm. some of that issue. So,
yeah.
And, you know, when we look at this, comments may be made, well, the city, you're just trying to get more money. Well, we are, because we're required, heavily regulated in regards to how we treat drinking water and how we treat our wastewater and also stormwater.
Mm-hmm. And some of your funds are drying up. They're going away. Excuse
yes.
the pun here, but mm-hmm. they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find new places to for funding. But right. also, isn't it an issue of equity,
it
in
is.
The community and sharing mm-hmm. that cost of these
right.
across
you know,
the board?
We have a responsibility to make sure those fees we apply are fair and also sustainable. And that's where right now, looking at where we're at, looking at our current cash situation, we can't continue to do what we've always done. And again, our first attempt at changing that was with Director Closey's work with the original 2018 mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. fee structure for the water utility. So
much of that stays in place.
It does. It does.
You know, so now mm-hmm. the work is back on you and the budget committee to go back together and find a different formula to use as we go forward on this.
Correct.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that this is by no means a crisis situation for the city mm-hmm. of Bismarck. You heard the mayor exclaim last night, the city's open for business. I mean, we are still very much an active community. There's still a lot going on here, but we just need to take a pause and I guess pivot in a different direction to find right. out how we continue to move forward.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, we'll be watching that. I'm sure you'll be bringing it back to us and we can talk
Definitely.
About what
Absolutely.
It looks like.
There's more to this
yeah.
conversation. There There's no
Absolutely.
Question.
So. Well, and it really boils this whole issue of informing the public and getting people to pay attention to some of these issues that are affecting them. It seems to us anyway, we see this surface with the City of Bandan and our program with them as well, with City Current, and this is a continuing challenge for the cities. How do you get this information out to people in advance in a way that they're going to pay attention to mm-hmm. it? And that's why we walk through your budget here mm-hmm. on your website, just to remind people that there is a lot of information here available, but mm-hmm. it's a very big challenge for the cities.
Yeah.
You have multiple issues that you're dealing with, whether it be planning and zoning or road construction mm-hmm. or utility fees, mm-hmm. whatever
special
it
assessments.
Is, special assessments to let people know. You want to inform them, but there is a cost you can't spoon feed everything to the citizens, and there is certainly a cost associated with that. You want to do what you can. Public notices in the newspaper. Your meetings are all televised. Yep. Everything's on your website. It's a challenge.
And we are recognizing that challenge. As Keith said, we definitely need to be a little more proactive when it comes to communication. And you're going to see in the next couple weeks, we're going to be definitely ramping up our efforts to help raise awareness of all the public meetings, the opportunities for public comment. And not only will this information be on our website, but we're going to be a little bit more, I'll say, aggressive when it comes to social media. Of course, you know, complimenting the work that you guys do here at Dakota Media Access and KDAC, we want to recognize how people can find these meetings either on the air, on cable, on the internet, and try and help promote some of that information a little better. We recognize there's a lot of competing features for people's time and their thoughts, and we're part of that mix. But at the same time, if we can help get more people engaged and aware of what's going on, then we feel we're doing a better job.
And I just popped up your Facebook page, and as you said, you're going to get more aggressive with your social media, and it's not just Facebook. You have Twitter as well.
And yep. Those will be the two platforms that we'll stick with primarily.
So it'd be a good idea if people are interested and want to keep up with some things is to like your page.
Absolutely.
And sign up for any kind of messaging that might be available to them so it lands in their inbox.
Yep.
Families are busy. Yeah. It's really hard. I mean, it's not really the fault of the residents. They're all keeping up with lots of things too. And to expect them to attend all the meetings down at the Tom Baker Room is is almost impossible. And again, that's why 30 years ago, you started us televising those meetings, and here we are today still doing that and up to 240 meetings a year and bringing that to people and storing them online. But that's not the only source of information. Right. So you have social media posts that'll go out about various issues and whatnot. So get in touch.
Absolutely. And we'll help.
You're ramping it up as best you can.
We will help share our message, and if people are interested, they can sure follow along.
Yeah. And one issue, and moving off your utility rates, I think we've wrapped that up pretty well, and we'll continue to watch that. Mm-hmm. But talking about public notice, I did get a notice the other day that from Steve Saunders from the Metropolitan Planning Organization. We have to be careful about using the initials here.
Not to be confused with the Mandan Progress Organization.
That's right.
That's a different program.
Two big MPOs in the community, but the Metropolitan Planning Organization is conducting a public input or public meeting up on next Tuesday, the 20th. We are recording here on February 14th. It's Wednesday. This meeting will replay quite a few times, but the meeting's Tuesday up at Capital Electric on State Street. Yep. It starts at 5:30.
Right.
There'll be a couple of different presentations. You don't have to stay the whole time. But what we're talking about is an alternative to the Highway 83 corridor.
Right.
Yeah, this process is just starting.
Yeah, and there's some boundaries on the west and the east side of the corridor, but they're looking at transportation alternatives. How do we move people more efficiently and more proactively? And that's really what the MPO does, is they're looking at long-range transportation studies. So this is right in their wheelhouse, and this is something that I'm looking forward to the results to see what they come up with.
And this process started quite a while ago. I mean, this alternative to Highway 83, we've been talking about various,
corridors.
Corridors and different traffic routes that could be diverted away from State Street. And this is kind of like, isn't State Street and the congestion on State Street kind of the impetus for moving some of this forward?
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, this effort started several years ago with a conversation with Mayor Seminary, former city administrator Bill Wolken, and at the time DOT director Grant Levi, and understanding that we have a unique situation. There aren't very many cities that have a U.S. highway that more or less dead end into the center of their community. So this is kind of unique. And with their efforts, the conversations continued, and we are finally at the stage we're at where we're actually able to do a study, and we're very appreciative of the Metropolitan Planning Organization's efforts to get this front and center. And then looking to the future, huge dollars to get things done, but you have to start with a plan.
Absolutely.
And so we're doing it right, and looking forward to the results of that.
There will be a couple more public input meetings, as well as a website that you can go to and provide comment there as well. I've popped that up on the screen, and the address is highway83altstudy.com. So that you can go in there and look at all sorts of maps and provide some feedback, and then it's open, and it's probably going to be open for quite a long time.
Another opportunity for public engagement. We just talked about it. So if you're not able to make the meetings, there are other ways to get your voice and your thoughts heard.
And I'm going to say that this is going to affect a lot of people, you know, not just in the State Street immediate area, but beyond into North Highway 83. I happen to live up in the Northeast area, and I'm paying attention to this. If this is something, you know, we'll watch this as it grows and provide input as we feel it's necessary. But, you know, just to let people know that this is a way to do this, or you can call them as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And have a hand in helping craft the future of what our community looks like.
This is going to be a long-term planning process. So it'll go through this, then back to the MPO, and it'll evolve over time.
But no immediate changes
with
this study.
It's a big deal.
Right.
So pay attention. Yes.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, we got signal. We're pretty much out of time. And so we'll say goodbye on this Valentine's Day. And don't forget your significant others, or
if you're just getting started now, you might be a little late.
That's right. That's true. So thank you for being here today. Again, Jason.
Thanks,
and
Mary.
Keith, thanks
thank
for
you,
joining
Mary.
Us.
Yeah,
it was great having
this
you.
Fun.
Hope you come back.
All right.
All right. And thank you for tuning in to this Bismarck edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDEC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.